Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3 tonight. This is familiar scriptures. We read this from time to time because there's so much here, but it goes with what I want to share tonight, if we would please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Samuel, the Old Testament. We get in chapter 3 tonight. Praise the Lord. We'll begin in verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious or rare. It was scarce. The word precious there means it was scarce in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time that when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called unto Samuel, and he answered, and he says, Here I am. And he ran unto Eli, and he said, Here I am, for thou callest me. And he said, No, I called thee not. Lie down again. And he went and he laid down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli, and he said, Here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord then called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went into Eli, and he said, Here I am, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go and lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call you, that you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. That should be your and my desire and heart's cry all the time. Lord, speak, I'm listening. Lord, speak, I'm listening, okay? Hallelujah. And so Samuel went down to lay down in his place. And in verse 10, and the Lord came, and he stood, and he called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, he said, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And then he goes on to talk with Samuel. Tonight's teaching, if we can just give it a little title, Developing a Spiritual Ear. Developing a Spiritual Ear. As children of God, we can hear from the one who bought us. We can hear from God. That is every believer's God-given right and privilege, amen, that we can hear the voice of God. It's not always an audible voice, like many people are trying to get the voice of God to be. But if you'll take time and develop a word life, amen, God will talk to you out of the Word, and then as you develop that relationship with the Lord through His Word, the times will come or He'll quicken or He will speak something in your spirit man. Amen? Hallelujah. So the message tonight, developing a spiritual ear. Hallelujah. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we're so thankful to be in your house tonight, and we just pray the weather holds out that we can get home safely here. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to bless those that are in attendance and bless the live stream audience. And wherever this message goes, on CD or DVD, let it be a blessing to those who partake. And Father, we thank you tonight for the anointing of your Spirit. Help us, strengthen us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. If you know a little bit about history, there was a season from about 500 AD till maybe about 1500 AD of a period of time that people will call, or historians will refer to, as the Dark Ages. We're all familiar with that terminology, the Dark Ages. And really, why was it called the Dark Ages, that thousand-year span of time? You got to remember that since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we've got about 2,000 years of human history, or the church age, since the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But about 300 to 500 years after the crucifixion, what was happening was, as the Roman Empire was kind of losing her grip and things were changing, the papal system came into place, the Roman Catholic system came into being and really began to push its influence to all the different regions of the world. Do you realize that in that season of 1,000 years, the Catholic system did everything it could to find as many handwritten copies of the New Testament, amen, and tried to put them behind locked doors that nobody could have access to the Word of God? In fact, they tell us even in Martin Luther's time, the way he found his revelation of the just shall live by faith was he read the Bible that was chained to a post in one of the churches, of the Catholic churches. They were not allowed to carry the Word of God anywhere. And as society would plunge into this time of darkness, it was a time where, almost like what we're reading in our text tonight, under Eli, the Word of the Lord was scarce. It was precious. In other words, if we're going to hear from God, we need His Word. Amen? And not that men couldn't hear from God if they had a relationship with the Lord, but when there's not much Word being taught and preached, you know, it's been said this way, where you have societies with no Bible, there's almost no freedom. If they have a little bit of Bible, there's some freedom. If they have a lot of Bible, they have a lot of freedom. Amen? So it goes to show you in humankind, when the Word of God is withdrawn and hid and concealed, it's a dark time for the people. It's a time where there's very little revelation from God. There's very little encouragement, even salvation being preached. I think we're in a dark time, in a sense, spiritually, in the modern church. We're getting very little preaching of God's Word and God's truth. We're getting little Bible verses here and there in church circles. They're getting a little bit of it, but it's really a time where the darkness prevails. Men are not hearing what Jesus Christ did for them. Men are not hearing the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that Jesus loves them, and Jesus died for them, and His shed blood can make them free from anything. As it's been said before, anybody can be free from anything at any time in Jesus Christ. Amen? So there's freedom and liberty as long as truth is being preached and taught, and people can hear it and believe on it. In fact, the Bible says, how can they hear lest a preacher be sent? Amen. So this concept of hearing is critical. And without hearing of a revealed Word of God, it plunges that nation, that people, that village, that little congregation, whatever it be, into a spiritual darkness. Amen. And so understand, whenever God's Word is not being properly taught with the anointing of God's Spirit, then the Bible talks about no open vision. In other words, no direction. Amen? We're just existing. We're barely getting by. We don't know what it is we're here for and where we're going. Amen? And that was the way it was in Samuel. See, in Samuel's time, Eli had that responsibility to bring the Word of God to the people and teach people the Word of God. In fact, one place in the Old Testament about the time of Eli, it says there was no teaching priest. And it was a time of darkness for the people. See, so we got to hear the Word, and we got to be taught the Word. And like Paul would tell Timothy, preach that Word, preach it, preach it, amen? Preach the Word. Very little preaching today, if you look out in church circles, amen? We got a lot of people talking about the Bible, talking about the things of God, proclaiming a philosophy of Christianity, but very little preaching of the Gospel and of the Word of God, amen? And where there is the preaching of the Word of God, there's going to be life, there's going to be power, there's going to be the Spirit of the Lord, amen? There should be life and vitality, there should be hope. And I'm here to say that when God's Word is taught, as you and I are hearing that Word, we're perceiving what the Spirit is trying to bring across to us as individuals. Amen. Do you realize when you come to church on any given Sunday or Wednesday night, the week or the season of your life, either that week, month, or that year, you're going through things. There are things you're facing. There are powers and principalities, situations. There are scenarios that you're going through. And if you're not in one, you in the next week or two, there will be something. Amen? But do you realize that when you're preaching the Word of God and there's an open vision there because God's Word is being preached, as a preacher is taking his time to try to seek the face of God, trying to hear from God, and trying to preach what God has given him. Amen? Then your need, God will design a service to make sure the Word of God gets to your heart. And that preacher may be preaching on something, but God is taking that, and you're hearing something in your spirit that is giving you an answer on what to do or encouragement in the midst of your storm. Amen? through that living word of God, you find life and vitality and hope. Amen. And sometimes it's the very answer that you've been waiting on God for. Amen. That's why it's so important. We always say it's so important to get to the house of God when we can, to have a church life as much as we're able to. Amen. Because we need the word of God. We need it ministered to us. Every one of us. I mean, God has set the ministries in the church, the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the apostle. But those ministries have no function in the body of Christ if we're not a body. Where does a pastor preach if nobody needs a pastor and if nobody needs the prophet or the evangelist or whatever? God has set them in the church. And those are gifts given to the church that God's word can be brought to life through the different various ministries that God has put into the church, that you and I can hear from God and hear His word and be enlightened and be given hope. Amen? Hallelujah. Or at times, even correction. Amen? We need, you know, Paul said, preach it to Timothy. But at times, you got to reprove, you got to rebuke, but with all long-suffering and doctrine. So preaching will either bless you or it'll curse you. It'll make you happy or it'll make you mad. Amen? But it won't leave you neutral. Amen? So on any given time, if we want to get away from the dark ages, let the word of God be brought out again. Let it be preached, amen, and taught. And people will begin to hear again and begin to have some open vision in their life, amen. And I'll guarantee another thing, that where the word of God is being taught and where the Spirit of God is allowed to move in the hearts of God's people, amen, where the Spirit of God is welcome, I'll guarantee, ere the lamp of God will not go out in the temple of the Lord. Amen. You and I today are the temple of the living God. Christ, it's Christ in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. God is not so much living in a building. He lives in the hearts of those that He has saved and washed clean by His blood. Amen. And He has come to dwell there. You and I are the temple of the living God. And I'm here to say, when God's word is being taught and we're hearing, the oil is flowing and the lamp will not go out. It may get down to a flicker sometimes because life will press in on you at times. But the lamp won't go out. There will still be the life of God in your soul and in your heart and in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why the old cliche, you know, but that's why we don't like seeing dead preachers preaching dead sermons to dead congregations. Amen. That's the way it was in the time of Eli. There was no open vision. The lamp of God went out, and God had to start getting the attention of the next generation. That's who Samuel was. Eli was the older man of God, raising up Samuel under him. Samuel was a minister of the Lord under Eli. Amen. Eli got to the point where he wasn't hearing no more, and he wasn't listening, and he wasn't doing the work of God as he ought to, as he was called to. And then God finally set him aside and he speaks to Samuel. And you know what's interesting? If you read the thing in its text and context here, you know what's really interesting? The first time God starts talking to Samuel, he's not giving him what you would call a let's run the building kind of message. He basically tells Samuel, the first time he's hearing from God, the downfall of Eli's ministry. He begins to tell Samuel some very hard things that are coming Eli's way because Eli has not kept up his responsibility, see, right? All Eli had to do is hear the word of God, be in the scriptures, teach the people the word, do his job that he was called to do by God, and people would hear and people would be blessed and the lamp would be trimmed in the morning and at night, and that lamp in the temple would have never gone out. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, tonight we got to understand, every believer is to have a spiritual ear that perceives spiritual understanding. The Word of God tells us faith comes by hearing. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing of what? The Word of God. Had Eli just taught the Word of God, it would have kept faith alive in God's people. Faith comes by hearing. And that word hearing isn't just the physical ear, it's the spiritual ear of perception. Amen. That's why when a preacher's preaching or teaching under the Spirit-filled circles, we call it, the full gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to hear things, even though the preacher's preaching one thing, God is going to take what that individual's saying and God's going to apply it to something that's going on in your heart and spirit to give you hope, to give you an answer, to give you direction, to bring a satisfaction to your spirit. Amen? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Amen? It's so important we hear the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I was talking to an individual this week seeking the Lord over something that's been really bearing down on him. And he called me all excited and he says, you know, I was reading the Scriptures. And it's like God just gave me an answer right out of the Bible. It's like just lipped off the page. I'm thinking, that's it. That's it. That's what we're trying to get across. God will talk to you and give you an answer and understand when God... Listen, God isn't always wordy. He doesn't have these big, like some preachers make it sound like God has this big, long, drawn-out conversation. When the Lord speaks to your heart, it's usually just a little bit. It's just a little bit. Amen? It gets right to the point, and that's what it was for this individual. God just gave a few words, and it seemed to answer a question. You know, and this is what I'm trying to say. Faith comes by hearing. He heard something, and it kept his faith alive. But understand, it's not always what we want to hear at times. How do you know you're hearing from God? Because when he does talk, it's not always what you want to hear. Yes, come on. It's not always what you want to hear about a situation or a matter, right? Amen. That's how you know it's God. God is impartial with you. God will tell you what you need to hear, even when you don't like it. But you'll know it's Him, and hopefully you'll humble yourself under that, the voice of God, right? Amen. But most of the time, He'll give you something that goes along with what you're sensing in your heart and spirit. Amen. So understand tonight, we're to have a spiritual ear that can perceive spiritual understanding. For faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. You know the great chapter in John chapter 10 where Jesus talks about He's the shepherd of the sheep and He's the door. And you know, and let me give you a few verses out of that chapter. But even Jesus talking about how His sheep will hear Him. One of the verses in verse 3, He says that the sheep, God's sheep, His people, you and me involved in that, amen? He said, the sheep will hear His voice. My sheep will hear My voice. And another, they will not follow. The voice of the shepherd is so unique. You know, I saw a little clip on YouTube one time a while back. And they did this experiment with a flock of sheep. Must have been in Israel someplace, just beautiful background. You see these, must have been 100 sheep on a hillside. And they were going to prove the point that the sheep won't listen to any other voice except of their shepherd. And so they had somebody go out there, and they were filming it, and they were trying to call the sheep in, the call-ins, because they wanted to see if they'd come. Okay? And so he's calling, he's trying to, you know, just whatever he can do, he's trying to call them, and the sheep would look, but they just go back to grazing. They wouldn't pay attention. Then another person went up there, and they tried calling the sheep in. Guess what happened? They did nothing. They wouldn't follow. They wouldn't come and hearken to the voice of that individual. And that might have went on, I think, a couple, three times. And then finally, the true shepherd got out there, raised his hand, said one word, and they all, like a flock, began to just make a beeline to the shepherd. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? It says, another they will not follow. You know, when you and I learn the voice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, when you and I begin to cultivate an ear that can hear the voice of God through His Word, it says, another we will not follow. Amen? And when we are starting to follow other voices, it's because we've not allowed and we've not matured in growing in this thing called the faith properly, that we're cultivating a spiritual ear that can hear the voice of our true shepherd. Amen? I'll give an example of that. There was a time in my zeal, that moving on from one church to another church because I wanted to be prepared for Bible school, for preaching and go to their Bible school and everything. But one thing that was always subtle in my spirit, and I say this carefully, I say this in love, but for 10, 12 years in that system, I always had this nagging feeling like the preeminence of Christ is not being held up here. And I thought, well, that was just me. That was just me. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm being partial, you know. And for the longest time, that subtle little nagging, you know what that little nagging was? That was the voice of the shepherd just trying to say, heads up here. Heads up here. And eventually, the shepherd would bear down and bring us out of that system in his way and time, but not until I learned the lessons that I had to learn. It was called the school of hard knocks, amen. I had to learn some hard lessons, otherwise you'd just keep running right back into it, amen. The shepherd will teach us not to go astray. And sometimes he allows some things to happen in us to get out in left field, spiritually speaking, that we can learn something from that we learn not to get off the main course or the straight narrow gate, I should say. Too quick, amen? Hallelujah. So understand, Jesus said, his sheep will hear his voice. In verse 4, he said, the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice. Amen. They know his voice. Amen. That's wonderful. I don't have to be over-concerned with being led astray because I can hear the true Jesus that saved me. Amen? I can hear him when he speaks, illuminate something to my heart and to my spirit. In verse 16 of John 10, he said, they shall hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. The sheep follow him and they know his voice. It says they shall hear his voice. Hear my voice, Jesus said. Now listen to this. In verse 27 of John 10, he said, my sheep will hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, I want to qualify something here very carefully, and I want to do it in the right heart and the right spirit. My sheep, they hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He's referring to those that know the voice of the shepherd. They're in proper relationship with the Lord. They're in faith. What does that verse mean? They're hearing my voice, I know them, and they're responding to me. They're following me. It tells you people that are in right standing with Jesus Christ. Then the next verse, and it says, then no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Who are the them he's talking about? Those that hear his voice, that know him, and that are actively following him. It tells me, when we properly read John 10, it tells us those that are secure and can never be plucked out of the Father's hand are those that are in a faith walk with Jesus Christ, actively following the shepherd. As long as I'm in faith, walking with Jesus, no man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. That's what qualifies the them that he's talking about. Why do I bring that up? Because we have a sect of believers today that say that you can be backslidden, you can be in a bed of fornication, as long as you said a prayer and you're God's child, no matter what, no man will pluck you out of God's hand. That's not what the text in context is saying, correct? Read it yourself and you tell me if you see something different there. All I'm trying to say that as long as I'm in faith, that word if you continue in the faith, that word if is the biggest condition in the New Testament. I just got to believe. If I'm believing, I know him, I'm hearing his voice, and I am following him. And of them, no man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. Why do I bear down on that? Because this CD goes somewhere, because we got a lot of people that don't like how that's taught there. They want to think that somehow They don't have to deal with the consecration side of this, your commitment to. Do you realize from the beginning of the failure in the garden, all God was wanting was obey me, obedience? And whenever man disobeyed, you read the hundreds of stories in the Old Testament. All they had to do was obey God. When they didn't, God put them away, and many lost out. In fact, God even called his own people, those in the wilderness that didn't follow him, he called them, their carcasses fell. They were out of faith. They weren't following me. They were in disobedience. They were in unbelief. And unbelief is the sin that'll take you out of the Father's hand. Remember, read it in context. My sheep hear me. They know me. They follow me. And no man can pluck them. Who's the them? I'm bearing down again. Come on. Who's the them? The ones that are hearing, knowing him, and following. Amen. Amen. I'm looking all over here because you know what? That scripture has been so misused by different religious circles that say that once a person is saved, no matter what, they never lose and never potentially can lose. Listen, I'll agree with them. You don't lose your salvation, but you can forfeit it. Big difference. You don't have to go to bed fearing, oh my God, am I going to lose this? Am I going to lose this? That's not the understanding. Salvation is received by faith. It's kept by faith. Paul taught that we keep it by faith if we continue. And Jesus taught that my sheep know me, they follow me, and no man can pluck them. The condition? Faith. Faith. He don't ask much of us, but faith is what he asks of us. And if true faith is there, there will be an obedience. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. So, God reveals what's ours by his Spirit. I want to read this out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning of verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, what's he talking about there? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the good things God has prepared for them that love him. He's talking, first of all, about the work of Christ on the cross that was yet to come. That's an Old Testament quote that Paul brings up, and he brings it into current text. And what Paul is saying is that now God has revealed this truth, the revelation of the cross. Paul, in this chapter, just got done talking about how the message of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to you and I which are saved, it is the power of God. And then he goes on to say, for this has been revealed to us. And not only that, but there's more yet to be revealed. And how is it revealed? It's revealed to us by God's Spirit. In other words, by revelation. The truth comes by revelation. Amen. It's revealed. And the one to whom it's revealed perceives it by hearing. See? So we're developing a spiritual ear, and this is what Paul has taken the Corinthian believers to. He's telling them that God has a lot for you, things you don't even know about, part of which is this message of the cross, the new covenant of grace and the finished work of Jesus Christ. In verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." He goes on, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Amen? These things come by the Spirit of God that is in us, revealed to us that we might know. That we might know something. That something would be revealed to us, the truth that makes us free. Amen. "Which things also we speak, not in the words of man, what man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now listen to this in verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that's spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is a judgmental man, who has the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So basically what Paul is teaching the Corinthian church is that that natural, unregenerated mind cannot perceive and hear what God's Spirit is trying to reveal to them. They got to come and they must be born again. They must have a spiritual birth that they can hear spiritual things. Amen? Prior to you and I coming to Jesus Christ, God set forth a work in your life. Prior to you believing on Christ, the Spirit of God was appointed to you to draw you to God, to draw you to eventually His saving plan. Amen? The people that you deal with, that you work with, that are in your families, we, by the natural eye, can't always see what God is doing in that life. But I can guarantee one thing, especially those of you that have loved ones that you've been praying for. God is working by His Spirit, drawing that unregenerate heart, trying to bring that person to, how can I say, God is trying to break that person down that they will begin to hunger and begin to yearn for God. That's how salvation comes. Amen. God deals and prepares the soil of that heart. Amen. So over time, God is dealing with that life, and it may get worse before it gets better. Amen. And you and I have to have a spiritual understanding through knowing and hearing God's word that, listen, that's how He saved me. Amen. It took 10 years from the time I really heard the gospel in a full gospel church to the time I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ at the age of 25. It took that long, and then I began to hear God, the voice of God. I'm saved. I mean, I'm on a bar stool Friday night. Sunday morning, I'm in church at that very same Pentecostal, full gospel Bible church that I made fun of 10 years earlier. How did I know to go there? When I had this new heart and a spirit, new spirit, I knew in me where to go. That was the voice of God. I didn't have to go knock on 40 different church doors to figure out which one God wants. I knew. And this is what Paul is talking about to the Corinthian believers. You're going to start knowing things because you're developing a spiritual understanding and a spiritual ear. That you can hear the mind of the Lord. Who has the mind of the Lord? We have the mind of Christ, Paul said. And how do we know? By the Spirit. The Spirit reveals the deep truths, the deep things of God. Amen? And so understand that tonight. Praise the Lord. Set this aside for a moment. So God reveals what is ours by His Spirit. Even Mark 4, Jesus would say it this way, "For unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done for them in parables." Why? That seeing they might see, but yet not perceive. And hearing they will hear, or may hear, but yet not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So in other words, you know, why did Jesus speak in parables? Why did He teach in parables? In fact, at the end of His ministry, the disciples even finally said, "Jesus, now you're talking to us plainly, finally." I mean, everything was a parable talk. Do you ever have a pastor or people or other Christians talk to you almost in parables? I mean, you're constantly having to perceive where they're trying to go with things. I mean, it's not easy all the time to hear that, you know? But that was God's method of fishing out and drawing out those that had a true hunger for God and the things of God, and to expose the hearts of those that have no interest into things of God. A parable to somebody that's not ready for the Lord would just sound like a foolish story and just get me out of here. I have no interest. But to those that have a heart for God, those parables, wait a minute, there's something here. Something here, something to this. And it'll fish them out, draw them out, where they want to hear more. And all of a sudden you'll see them in a church service. They'll call you. They'll stop by. They'll look you up. Amen? See, that's what the parables are meant to do. He's testing the spiritual ear of those that were hearing. Amen? And those that weren't hearing. Amen? Now, the believer is to be spiritually minded with that. For to be carnally minded, Paul said, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It tells me that as I'm developing a spiritual ear, I'm to live as a spiritually minded child of God. That means I learn to depend upon Jesus Christ by daily faith through the grace of God. Amen. You know, Liz and I, we were taking a walk, eight, 9 years ago in a nice county park, and I think we had talked to somebody we ran into at, the boys were younger and they were playing at the playground, and this individual came up and said, you know, God's always speaking. He's always speaking. You know, and that was a statement that kind of stuck with us, and I guess in some ways, yeah, he is. He's always trying to either comfort us, let us know everything's okay. He's always got our attention. The true child of God, he's always, in a way, has your spiritual attention, right? You go through something, I mean, you get a flat tire, you wonder, what's the spiritual lesson here? You know, it's just a tire that went flat. But okay, there's got to be something. There's got to be something here. There's got to be some spiritual lesson. There's got to be, you know, we could over spiritualize something. But it tells us that even in the little events of life, guess what? We're listening. We're doing our best to perceive what the Spirit of God might be trying to bring across to us. Amen. Amen. And sometimes it's just life. It's sometimes you just have a flat tire. Change the thing and be on your way. It's okay. Amen? But the believer is to develop an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Jesus in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, seven churches, he's writing to these churches. And at the end of every one of those letters that went out to those seven churches in Asia Minor, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That's the Jesus that we say we love, that we say lives in our heart. He is teaching his children. He is teaching those churches, and nothing has changed in 2,000 years. We are still to be hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Do you know what the message today is? Do you know what God is saying in this last hour of time to the churches? He is saying, putting the emphasis back on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is bringing the church back to the foundations of the faith by putting their faith in the finished work, the slain Lamb of God. The Spirit is saying, come back to the cross. Get back to the cross. Get back to the bloodstained platform of where God can meet with sinful man, where the blood of His Son was shed and provides a benefit to you and I. Amen. This is where He's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle. In legalistic circles, they say, well, God has to purge the church and purify the church and run the church through great tribulation so they get weaned from the things of the world. Oh, I beg to differ. The Bible teaches that when I get back to the cross, I'll find a complete cleansing. I'll be without spot and without wrinkle in the eyes of God because my faith is not in my performance, but it is in the finished work of what God provides to me through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is where the church has to be brought back to. And so when we are repetitive and we preach, why so much? Listen, I'm a pastor. I'm a child of God. I've been in this thing 32 years, but I'm here to say, as I seek the Lord, all I hear in my spirit is Jesus in Him crucified. Jesus in Him crucified. Back to the cross, the finished work, the slain lamb, the benefits of the blood. That's what I hear and that's what I speak. What did Jesus do in his earthly ministry? I speak only what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I see him doing. The church of this last hour has to be preaching the cross. Back to the cross. Back to the cross. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, there's other things to preach. Well, yes, and we do that. We fill in the blanks many times in between different things we teach and stuff. But everything leads us back that your faith must be anchored in what Jesus Christ and what he did for you personally on that tree 2,000 years ago. Amen. That your dependence is 100% on him. Not a pastor, not a church, not a ministry, not mama and daddy, not everything else, not on your goodness, not on your own personal merit, not on your pedigree. It is solely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's where God has to get the church back to. So hear what the Spirit is saying now, which brings us to an emphasis. Jesus is making an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. You got to remember the Holy Spirit is God. And if God talks to you, it's because of the person and work of God, the Holy Spirit, that has been trying to get your and my attention through his word. It's the Holy Spirit. It's his job to tell us things that are to come, to train us in the voice of the shepherd, to confirm with us, and to help us understand and reveal. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will take of mine and will show it unto you. Show it. He just didn't say, tell it to you. Show it to you. What's he talking about? That you perceive it, that you can understand what the Spirit is trying to say to the church. Today we got ministries out there that are saying they have the Holy Spirit, but they're teaching and pushing and ministering everything else but Jesus and him crucified. That's a false spirit, a false way. Amen. Everything will bring you back to the cross. The Holy Spirit doesn't contradict himself. Amen? The Holy Spirit will never tell you to bow to Mary. He'll never tell you to do that. Amen? I'll go one step farther. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to bow to men and to preachers. It'll tell you to reverence those that are properly being servants of God. That's a big difference. But you're never to worship them and let them run your life. Because you have a shepherd and you can hear him. And he's the one that died for you. He's the one who is trying to bring truth to you through God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we got to understand. See, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, he's that voice of truth to the inward man. Amen. And many times he uses the written word of God or the preached word of God. Amen? Let's wind this down. So understand, Jesus' emphasis was on the Holy Spirit. Not only is he God, he's the one with whom we acquaint ourselves. The church and the believer never will outgrow their need for the Holy Spirit, ever, in this life. You and I never plateau and get to the point where I don't need to be not hearing his voice because everything's okay. We never outgrow our need for God, the Holy Spirit. And we got to realize that God has a message for the churches. He will always point us to the straight gate, Jesus and him crucified. He will never deviate from the word of God and from God's will for your life. The voice of the shepherd never will lead you astray. It'll never take you out of the will of God. Never. And the Holy Spirit will never deviate from the word of God. That's important. Amen. The Holy Spirit will always troubleshoot the situations in our life, and he'll reveal the problems at hand, and in time, if we're listening, he'll bring a solution. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. And the message will always be within the parameters of Jesus Christ and him crucified for us. And we are to hear what the Spirit is saying, and we are to hearken to what we're being told. All right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus even said it this way, take heed to what you hear. For with what measure you perceive it, it'll be measured to you. And unto you that hear more will be given. For he that has, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even what he thought he had. It's a nice way of saying, when the Lord is trying to get our attention, when the Lord is trying to speak, if we perceive it, God will add more to it and build up an understanding of something. But if we're not listening, and we come to church and we're thinking about the Super Bowl, and we're thinking about the problems that I've had to deal with all day. I mean, we all can get distracted, don't get me wrong. But if I'm not listening, and God is trying to bring truth to me, and I'm not listening, the little bit of truth I thought I had, I'll lose it, it'll dissipate, and it won't bring fruit in my life because I didn't allow it to germinate in my heart. That's what Jesus is saying there. He that has more will be given. It's like a seed planted. If that seed can germinate and grow, you're going to have a full whatever comes out of that. But if you don't let it germinate, the very thing that he wanted to give you, you're going to even lose that. And there will be no increase. See? So we got to hear and cultivate an ear that can hear. Hallelujah. Couple detriments to hearing the voice of God is preoccupation. I just talked about that, preoccupation. Amen. My mind's going 100 miles an hour instead of just saying, Lord, just clear my head that I can hear. Just let me take this half hour, this hour, and hear what you're trying to say. But if I come to church, and this is a problem with most of us at times, at different times, we come so full and preoccupied and, you know, and sometimes it goes into what I call, and this is deadly, a predetermination. Predetermination is I get so hardened and so preoccupied in something that I go to church or I may be hearing something, but I'm not listening. And I don't care what they're saying or what God is trying to say to me, I'm not bending and I'm not going to do what God says do anyway. I'm going to do my thing. That's what happened to Judas. Jesus, they're all at the table. What does he say? The one of you that's going to betray me is going to take his sop and dip it in the, or take his bread and dip it, or take the sop and dip it, yeah, in the cup. I mean, to the point where half the table was going, is it me? Is it me, Lord? Is it me? And you know what? Judas, preoccupied, thinking about, how can I betray him? How can I get out of here? How can I let the priest know he's here? How can I? Okay. He's scheming this thing to where Jesus is talking and he's not hearing. I brought this example out one time. Have you ever been so weighed down with something that people are talking all around you, but you're not hearing a word they're saying because you're so locked in your own thoughts? So you can understand maybe where Judas was that night. Jesus is talking. The disciples are saying, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And you know what he's doing? In a daze, he's just kind of and then Jesus says, what you're going to do, do quickly. And also, what? Okay. And out the door he goes. And the Bible says, and Judas went out, and it was night. See, that preoccupation, that predetermined spirit, that I don't care what God's word is to me, amen, that I'm going to lock in and just do what I'm going to do. That has destroyed millions of potential children of God that could have had fruitful lives in the body of Christ. You know, when you look around and you know people that have had exposure to God's word, exposure to the truth, they may have began this race with just wonderful start, but you look where they finish and you go, my God, I hope that's not me. I hope that's not where my life ends up. And you see people that they've missed out on so much. And they may have a church life even. But they've not opened their heart and they've not cultivated an ear to hear what God is trying to speak to them. And they lose out on the blessing. The little they had dissipated. But the ones that are listening and it's getting into their heart And they're developing through that little by little. And you see the blessing in their life and God's hand on their life. And even a prosperity that'll come. Amen? Because they have cultivated a spiritual ear and they want to know the voice of their shepherd. Amen? And as they are being led by God, hearing Him, they're finding blessing wherever they go. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.